Glory to God. We worship you. We'd like to take this opportunity to pray for Pastor Enrique. I had an email that I was going to bring over, but I forgot it. But some of you have heard from him. I know Matt had read his email or heard from him or something. He's back in Colombia. You remember Enrique? Some of you, most of you, how many? Okay. Came here. He was with Pastor LaRue for a number of years and a few years. And what a call of God and what an anointing. And he's a Colombian. And I really respect anybody that comes to the U.S., sets up, and lives our lifestyle and then loves God enough to go back and do whatever God calls them to do for their land and for their country. And he's in Colombia. What's the city?
Cali.
Okay. El Retiro is exactly, it's close to Cali. Okay, that's the neighborhood in Cali. And the email that I read today, you know, he said that he got there and got set up, and they were in a real noisy, terrible section of the city. A lot of crime. And the other thing that was a little bit disturbing was, and I don't mean to read between the lines, I'd like to talk to him about it, but he said, you know, what we've watched and affectionately enjoyed concerning the video, the transformation, is that? I've seen one of them pretty much all the way through. He said the people in that neighborhood wasn't even aware of that ever happening. And so that either says that that part of their city wasn't touched, or Satan's already begun to try to corral. And I don't know when that happened. How many years ago? That's probably close to a decade or something. I don't know, but God wants to move down there. He sent Enrique there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if God gets His way, how many of you know the revival that God gets? He wants it to continue. And boy, we were just watching that video somebody gave us, and it was really wonderful. A lot of people getting saved. People turning in to the church like Ralph was talking about. But you know, if that ever happens, just don't make any mistake about it. Don't ever make a mistake about it. Because if you do, you get whipped right on that line. That stuff never happens. You say, well, maybe sometimes. No, it never happens that somebody doesn't pay a price for it. It doesn't just sovereignly turn up and God just start pouring out His Spirit. If it ever does look like it is sovereignly happening, you watch it. It'll settle down just about as quick as it got started. Because if somebody's not in there paying the price for it in intercession, then see, that's the only way God has to move on planet Earth, is through your authority. Sometimes He'll visit a place, because saints a long time ago really prayed, and then they stopped. They got beat out. And what they're getting is the overflow, or the backlash, kind of, per se, of what God's intention was. But know this, even in the backlash or the back part of it, unless somebody steps up with that and starts running real fast with it, it'll die out. It'll die out just like it started. Because everything has to have a birthing. And it has to have people of authority standing around to make sure that that birthing is steadfast right on through. So we're going to lift up our friend. He's a good man. And he's down there in the heart of the action. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just lift up our friend right now. Pastor Enrique, Lord, and his wife and children, in the name of Jesus, how we respect this man. Thank you for his endeavor. Lord, I thank you that he's going down there for a reason. You're sending him down there for a reason, and it doesn't, it's not disguised to me or anybody else that understand the authority that you place in someone and then release it in different parts of the world. I praise you and thank you for the revival that'll take place. The revival that'll take place in that part of the world. And in Jesus' name, I pray that it be surrounded by wisdom and truth and protection and provision. And I pray that every evil thing that's intended against he or his family at any time be secured by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Surround them with great grace and great wisdom and great understanding and protection. Hedge them in above and beneath and on every side, we pray. By your glory, we thank you, Jesus, that they will stand the test and that, Lord, you'll raise up a great church in that place. God, give him elders. God, give him intercessors. God, give him ministry of helps. God, I pray that you'll give him government. Father, I pray that in every hand that he needs, Lord, to secure this outpouring, I thank you, Father, that it will be done and it will be secured. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise and magnify you. The blind see and the lame walk. And the deaf hear and the dumb speak. And the dead are raised. And the sick are healed. And thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for the revival, Jesus, what you've intended. Hallelujah, Lord. I worship you. I praise you. Oh, I thank you for every child that is born again in this revival. Every child that is healed, Lord. Every child that is delivered, Lord Jesus. Every child, Lord Jesus. We don't have to receive the doctor's report. And we don't have to see, Lord, hospitals go through what they've gone through, the continuation of people coming in and leaving the same way. Oh, Jesus, I praise you that you're the God that is more than enough. And I praise you that you have given us all these things freely, richly, to enjoy through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I praise you and I worship you, Lord. These things are given to us now. And Lord, we're contending for all the more for the manifestation of all these things to be, Lord, given to us over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You imagine the life that you're living now and how, if you've walked into this, you begin to lift your voice and worship Him and get to know Him. And there's no thrill. There's no ecstasy. There's no joy. There's no peace in the world like the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What He feels inside of you and then what He begins to navigate on the inside of you is a, you be going, man, I feel like going someplace, but I got to stay here with you. Say hi to me every once in a while, Marcia. Can you imagine, though, and I'm not saying this in a demeaning sense, the thousands will come in and they'll eat of the same pasture and drink of the same water that you'll drink of. And every time they take a drink, their eyes will clear. They'll clear. Because they thought life was about what they'd been taught. They thought life was really about something bigger and something better and having more. Only to find out that it never, the hole never got filled on the inside. What are you going to do? I'm going to get my dreams. I'm going to get rich and have more and grow old and watch what? Watch the grass grow? Or have some place, well, I'd like a place where I could do this and do that and relax. He doesn't mind you relaxing, enjoying life. But my God, what an empty, empty syndrome to live in, to think that all that life was to get bigger and better and to have more. And at the end of this life, you had enough to say, well, we can live very comfortably and we can just sit back and enjoy. You that are getting to know Him are getting the very best that life has. You get the opportunity He's offering, and I'm saying yes. He's offering to you to live your life for the most noble cause. Can you imagine giving your life for any more noble cause? However old you are, let's say you're in your 40s, your 50s, whatever time you got left, 30s, whatever time you got left on planet Earth, can you imagine a more nobler cause than bringing the kingdom of God in and watching a spiritual move on planet Earth in the locale, knowing that you had something invested in that. You helped pray that in. You helped live that in. You lived your life so much so that He was able to come and glean from you. He gleaned from you enough spiritual authority that the day that the first major miracle started happening, your investment was sowed into that, whether you supplied it in money that was made to keep the dynamo rolling while people were fasting and praying, or it was you who just lived your whole life in a behind-the-scenes kind of coming in and going out and sticking to the understanding that God's desire was to return His church to something that represented the first church, where the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak and the dead are raised, and most importantly, that thousands and thousands are born again. Can you imagine? It's the heartbeat of life. Doing something for someone else. Your children will thank you that you're causing them to grow up in that kind of environment. No matter how, whatever they're feeling right now, you're teaching them. Do you have a poverty mentality? Oh no. Some of you, I'm believing, are going to make mega millions before this is over. But it's not going to be for you. My God. It'll be for something far higher cause. Oh, for you, Pastor. Oh no. You can go crank up my big Lincoln and drive it off if you'd like. Go get my Hummer. Kathy, give them the keys to my Hummer. Not the first one, not the black one. Give them the red one. Not that one. Somebody on the website will actually believe I have those. Just ask, does he have those vehicles? Please don't get me wrong. If you know a pastor that's got one, it's okay as long as it's sanctified. It's just that, you know, you spend the hours. I don't know if you get. I don't know if we're sane anymore, people. I don't know that we are. But she said we went off the edge away. It's too late. But whatever this is, I like it. For me to take the time right now, I got good credit. I got everything I need to start a house. They say this is about the best time right now. Go buy some that's vacant, because you know that boom that went, whoosh, now it's whoosh. I just don't have the time right now. It may catch up with me. Somebody may say, can I take the time for you in years to come? I don't know, but right now there's some kind of noble cause that's in front of me. And it's not trying to figure out how my retirement years are going to... I can tell you how your retirement years at 70 and 80 and grandpa's age See, and you think he's sharp, some of you will be just as sharp and sharper. And physically, you'll be just as good and better. Because he came on this like 10 years ago. You're getting it now. 70 and 80 and 90 years old, your mind will be sharp and you'll be giving it to what you're giving yourself to right now. See, the Lord began to raise something inside of me this week. And He began to say, where are you going? I said, it's enough for me to come over here, lift my hands and worship Him and magnify Him and believe for His presence. And that's where it begins, right there. And I don't know any more of a nobler cause than a revival. One that'll stay. Please don't get me wrong. We haven't seen what they saw in Colombia yet. But that was really, from what I've seen, it was a salvation revival. God wants an encompassing revival where the blind see and the lame walk. He began to say, like, how high is, what are you believing for? See, I know there's a lot of you, women included, that you're generals. You're generals. Because you won't stop. And where you really know where you're going is what you fashion your heart to. What it fastens to and says, God, there's something inside of me that's pulsating. And it says, there's no more nobler calls. I can't even raise my children. Listen, your children are not going to be cheated. They can still play little league ball. You can still play catch with them. It's not going to live in some kind of vacuum. But the fact of the matter is, there'll be no more nobler calls than you live in your life. Believe in God that everything that you're doing, whether it's a helps ministry or it's in the government ministry or it's in the intercession part of this thing. See, when I'm aged, when I'm there with you, we've got something we've got to turn over to our children if He doesn't come. And it's got to smack a full-blown revival. It's got to look like it and taste like it. So much so that they're building on it. I saw two or three times over the last few days, and this was my heart. See, I saw myself saying, where are we going with this? See, because the scripture I wanted to read was out of Ecclesiastes 4. We can't turn there yet, but it's about that threefold cord in our ministries and governments. Governments and helps and intercession and all these coming together. Because the fact of the matter is, see, if he can get a revival, if he can start it here and get his first breakthroughs into it here, it's just like anything else in this life. Authority doesn't come from outside of you. Anything, that's why he said earlier, anything that he does in the earth, he has to do it through you. So if a bunch of people start saying, my God, God's moving in our church, then I'd say, my God, bless God. And if anybody can teach us anything, I'd just run over there and watch what's going on. But then, what I want to do is to say, take me behind the scenes. Show me why this is happening. Well, we don't know why it's happening. Oh. Show me behind the scenes. Take me down in the ship where what is propelling the ship is making the ship go forward. I want to see what's making this go forward. Well, you say it's just the sovereign love of God. Listen, if He could do that, He would have already done that. He's not a bad God. If he could heal people of cancer just because He wanted to, He already would have. He just can't. What inhibits Him is He can't hardly find the person around at the time necessary who's gone into a place where they absolutely know it's done, that it's done, that it's done. So whatever He does in this house or any other house, or not some lone ranger, but whatever He does any place on planet Earth, it'll be because somebody fought the same battle that you're fighting. Somebody fought the same battle that we're fighting. And what happens is if they keep on and they do not relent, the devil can't run them off. They don't quit. They keep praying. They keep fasting. Some people come. Some people leave. They just stay in. They're staying in there relentlessly. It's not earning anything. That's not it. You say, what are you earning? You're not earning anything. What you're doing is you're employing what He placed inside of you, and the authority that He gave you was to get past all of the very best that Satan had to offer. And when you can trump him on every place, you gain. This is a bad analogy, but I don't know anything else to say right now. You gain that trinket on your belt. That authority that you gained over what usually stops everybody else and makes them think they've come to the end of their road, they gotta quit, or they're just so exasperated they just give up, give out. Enough people die of cancer, and people in the church and people say, well, aren't you calling in a revival? My God, how's this? And then the whole smear, just not knowing that on the other side of all those questions and all that fight and fight is the reality of where a revival lives. And all that He'll do is He'll push and He'll push and He'll push. Well, see, you're living for a noble cause. It's beyond you. It's beyond you. You're not living for the moment. You're not living to retire. My God, who retires in the kingdom? When are you going to retire? When you guys put me in the grave at 100 and whatever, full of days. But see, before then, with still a lot of gray hair, I want to walk in. This is what I saw in my spirit, though. I really believe it was Him. Just those flashes. See, because whatever He comes and does, He doesn't do it outside of you. He's got to come through you. And if He comes through you, you had what it took for Him to come through you. Simple deductions. If He can't stop it, and He would stop it if He could, means that He couldn't find the authority to stop it. Simple deductions. If He can stop it, He will. If He can step up and bring a revival, then somebody, or a number of somebodies, got in a position where that they got past enough of the flesh and enough of everything, and He began to give them the desires of His heart. Say, yes, that's what I was waiting on. Retirement and Him giving me the desires of my heart. You word people know. That's usually best quoted by a big, overindulgent flesh creature standing there with so many baggages on his life or her life that they don't even know what they're saying, and they're saying, He's going to give me the desires of my heart. It doesn't mean, read the Scripture. It doesn't mean that He's going to give you what you're desiring. It means that when you fellowship with Him, that He impregnates inside of you His desires, so what you have emanating from you are the desires that came from heaven. Those are the things. Well, I want this and I want that. And they've got so much flesh, they're having a hard time loving anybody, and He's going to give them. Well, thank God it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that if you fellowship with Him, you start saying, my God, forget the days of watching the grass grow and having something more and more and more and more and more. What I want is You to use me for an outpouring. And if He can get that authority in you, see, then it can't be stolen. It can't be. Unless you just walk away and stop doing what you were doing to bring it to that place. As long as you keep on going forward, then it is not. Here's the wonderful thing. We see from Scripture that it was transferable, because everywhere Paul went, he was able to raise up these power flows. It was transferable in Jesus' life. Then it actually started working in men's lives that were not God/man. We see it in examples of Paul where he would go in and the apostles, everywhere they went, they'd raise up the standard of revival and tremendous, tremendous works would take place. Why? Because it's transferable then. Because it goes with you. It's innate. It's inside of you. It's not someplace out there floating around waiting to happen somewhere. You carry, again, I said Sunday, you carry a whole world inside of you. Every time I say that, I see that little cat running around with that universe on the inside, with all those, that solar system. Men in black. You carry a whole, your level of authority. You can get to a place. You think he's going to give it to you though, the enemy? Or you just, him lying down and say, come take it. All you that want to make a million for the gospel, I'll just lay down, cross my legs, and you can tie me up. Just come take it. Your fight's going to be just like mine for miracles. But I saw a couple of times last few days in prayer in this room and at the house, myself walking in good shape, but grayed, into a war room. The war room probably was as big as this room, or half the size of it, probably. It had a huge, expanded 12-foot, maybe, panoramic globe on it. Schematics, diagrams, and it looked like a place where intelligent people would be working, with computers and stuff. And I could take... And I had generals that walked in there with me. We said, let's go to the war room. See, when you take your city, and wonderful things are happening, and thousands are getting saved, and miracles are being recorded, and doctors are really certifying these miracles, then that which has come, become innate to you, and been downloaded in your spirit, it can be transferred again. It can connect with other places. And the Lord said, what are you believing me for? Where are you believing me for? And it was more, something rose up in my spirit. And I said, well, God, you know, always we're believing for this revival, for Immokalee. See, God wants you to believe for the greatness that He's placed inside of you, which is not yourself, but Him, to come to fullness in this life. And I saw myself walking in with women and men. There was no segregation in it. And these people were people of authority because they were helps, governments, and intercessors. And I could point to a place on this huge global map and said, God gave me a vision in the night. Can we go there? God said He wants us to plant there. He wants us to go to a place and take this power to that city of the world. And I saw myself turn to the helps and say, what do we have to have? It's your job to figure out what do we have to have. Governments, you start, and this is a threefold cord. I'm kind of teaching ahead of myself. But this is helps, governments, and the intercessors getting together and turning to the intercessors and saying, intercessors, look, the dreamers have already started dreaming this, us going into this nation. But I had the vision last night, or God birthed it inside of me. How long helps? How many millions is it going to take? And when can this start being transferred so that we can invade, we can put an invasion of light into that part of the world? See, people, that's what we're called to. That's what you're called to. That's what you're called to. See, if you believe, if you don't have, if you don't see, and the Holy Spirit's waking me up, you go into some seeking and the Holy Spirit start waking you up and He said, son, look, I know you're having a hard enough time just breaking through where you're at. But let me give you the rest of the picture. And I'm thinking, God, you don't need to give me no more than what I can see right now. And He said, no, you don't understand. You got to understand where you're supposed to be in years to come. Where these generals walk in, and I'm able to say to that I can able to say to some of these men or some of these women that are in the ministry of helps, we need so many millions. I don't know, governments, you're going to have to figure that out. But I want you to cross-pollinate here, and I want you from, we're not going to leave this room until we begin to pray and say, how long? Is it going to take us a year to go into that nation? Because I can tell you this, when you go there, and if He says go there, or wherever He says, if it's to go to another part of our state, wherever you go, when you get there, and governments has done its work, and help's done its work, and the intercessors have been those who spearheaded and went in front of you and prayed and prayed and bathed that place in prayer, it'll work. And another revival. Another beachhead in the Spirit. An invasion of light. See, if you see yourself, if you don't see yourself with some kind of an imagination that God's placed within you, because He's the one that gives you the desires of your heart, if you just think, well, what I'm doing right now is, my plan right now is just to stay steady in the Lord and not backslide. That's wonderful. That's great. But God's called you to more than that. He's called you to be part of something that enhances you so much that the Holy Spirit of Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 2, and now tonight I'm just more or less exhorting, so I'm not teaching line on line, but those scriptures tell you that the Holy Spirit not only will call you and identify your call, but He's the one that begins to navigate your call in that and show you how to get it done. And He's the empowerment of it. He's the empowerment of it. Some of you have got to go past the place where you say, well, I'm just living my life from day to day right now, and I'm just trying to establish a prayer life. Hallelujah to that. That's wonderful. But your prayer life's going to take you from a place of where you've at times been stagnant or at times just been trying to hold on to a place where He wants you to understand the Holy Spirit wants to take us. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged. You know, I hope I'm not prophesying, but I'm going to tell you the truth. If there's five of you next week sitting here, the fact of the matter still remains, the truth is the truth. God's called every single one of us who gets on this line and goes forward to a place where He wants us to be able to walk in and say, Mockley is in revival, and we can take this revival through the Holy Spirit to other parts of the world. See, the fact of the matter is, you are what you see yourself as. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now there's two divisions of your heart, and we talked about that. The one is the spirit, the one is the soul. Did you know the soul, just the soul alone? Just the soul alone has the power to transform people to the image. I walked in the Nazi concentration torture camps of Auschwitz and Birkenau in Poland, and I would never take a kid there. It was a very depressive day, but I endured it. I wanted to learn history. I love history. I didn't love what I saw there. But I watched, I walked those hundreds of acres. One thing I learned about the survivees, you know, it interests me. How could you survive something like this? How could you survive being put out in the snow, naked, nude, for hours in torture, sub-zero, just to perform scientific tests to see how long a person could stand there before they froze to death. The report always was, there was a continuity. The people that survived, you know what they said? I was someplace else. They said, I was not in the moment, I was someplace else. See, God is either, people live either in the past or the present future. God is the God of the present future. He's always taking you forward. That's what Paul said, I'm pressing forward. These men and women that survived said, I was always someplace else. I was believing I was someplace else. What you see yourself as. Some of you may take exception with this, and I'm not, you know, partly maybe. My team, Matt's team, Florida Gators. I was taken, you know, the thing that when I heard Urban Meyer's testimony when he won the national championship, I couldn't believe it. I thought, man, it's a good thing you didn't say this before. You'd been fired. And I probably won't do this justice because I'm just trying to recall it. He basically said, when he was standing there, it may have been in a celebration at Florida, I'm not sure, but it was this year, he said this, years ago, when I was recruiting for another team, I had to come to South Florida because, you know, some of the best players are from South Florida. And he said, I was going on 75, and he said, I was like, what is this University of Florida place? And he said, I pulled in, and the short of the story was he got out on the field because the field wasn't locked. And he said, while he was standing there, he called his wife, I think. Is that right, Matt? He called his wife and said, this is where it ends for us. This is the road. We're headed here one day. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this man saying? He went through two or three more colleges after that, became the head coach. And I don't know if Spurrier was still there at the time or not. If he was, there's no way to uproot him. What kind of ambition? His soul said, he called his wife and said, this is it. I'll be transformed into this place. This is where the road ends for us. Do you know the soul can transform you into things if you've got a big enough desire? How much more the human spirit when it's ordained by God to say, you've got a call. You've got a destiny. Right now we're challenged with some things that I can't really even mention so much. But it's like they're a mockery to me to saying we're going to take the world by a storm. But I can tell you this, if a man could stand on a field and say, my glory days will be coming to here to win a national championship, and to see that thing revealed, Dina Castor, the greatest, she took third place in the Olympics whenever they had it a year or two ago in Italy. I guess it went back to its original place. Third, the bronze medalist in the in the marathon. She's a white girl, and the only reason why I mention that is the Kenyans usually just tear that long distance. Men usually just kill, and I guess the women do too. They're just running sticks, and they train at high altitude. She took third place, a bronze medalist. She was the third best out of 5 billion people on planet Earth. But her coach, when she went to Colorado Springs, began to tell her, look, you've got tremendous training abilities. But one thing you lack, you've got to see yourself as a world beater. And she was like, what do you mean? He said this. He said, you've got to live every day like you're going to be the champion of the world. He said, you've got to eat every day like you've got to sleep. He said, I want you contemplating if it takes 2 or 3 hours before you get in bed, I'm working towards getting in to get enough rest. He said, you've got to sleep and eat like you're a world beater. He said, like you're the best. And one day she stood on that platform and was the third best in the world. She may get another shot. Age may not still be a factor for her. All I'm saying is this. The Holy Spirit can put a divine inspired imagination inside of you. He can give you the dreams of your heart. If you understand this, He's the one planting them there. And there's no more nobler cause, people, for us to live for than the days that are coming called revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I walk in there with a fivefold and we're going to join hands. I can tell you, if a man can stand on a field and do that, I believe with all my heart, it won't be in this place, it'll be wherever, but we'll look up and we'll probably start crying the day we walk in there, because I can tell you those things are going to come to pass. Let's turn to Barbara and some of you ladies, you intercessors, and see, male or female, your generals in the Spirit, Maria, you guys are, I could just go right down all of you. Helps ministry. Marty. The different one. Now, how does this start and where does it go? Right now, we don't have a government in place to assist you so much. Where's the practicality of it? I can tell you the practicality of it, first of all, goes into that realm of praying in tongues. Why? Because what that is, it's the catalyst that brings you most assuredly into who you are and what your call is, then it'll eventually begin to, according to Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it will eventually begin to illuminate to you the process, the navigation. He not only is praying, when the Holy Spirit's praying for you, do you realize He really wants to get past a place where He's praying for your meanness to come out? You thought all He ever prayed for was your meanness to come out. That's not what He wants to get to, a place where you're, where the instillment of your call so that you're affecting the world comes to a fullness where you really begin to believe it and you begin to act it out. The next place is where He will begin to do is divine appointments become something that you understand that you're living your life for. And you understand this, as I said before, and believe me, this is not scare tactics. We've already won if we do what we're supposed to do. If we fight Him in the flesh, He's going to run some of you off. And I love every one of you. But we can't fight Him in the flesh. But if we fight Him in the Spirit, you'll be here to the end, and you'll understand this. Governments, helps, fivefold, you know, intercession, intercessory groups, men and women, to go in to receive. I think you already know this now. You got to understand it's a major front that we're facing. He's not going to lie down and say, oh, just because Pastor inspired you that you can take the world, oh, forgive me for opposing you. It's still going to take the opportunities for grace. Listen, if there's anything that any of you need to ask for more of, that's grace. Grace to understand the illumination of what He wants from you, and then grace to, when He comes with seasons where He pulls you aside, you're not the one. See, here's the thing. You're not the one. You're not the originator of your call, nor are you the one who is expected to accomplish it in and of yourself. He wants to accomplish it in you. He wants the glory to say, you didn't have to do it. I empowered you for it. What He will require is some quality, setback, set aside time, at times more so than others, where you're able to go in there and die enough to hear His voice and enact what He wants. And I can tell you, some of the seedbed, just real practical talk, some of the seedbed goes right back to Acts chapter 2, where they fellowshipped and ate with one another. And they broke their bread with singleness of heart. Singleness of heart means that they had a vision, they had an ambition. The days are supposed to be here, and some of you are already starting to talk about this, some of you men, and some I've heard some of the ladies recently. You need, I will never, the leadership, and you know who you are, I will never come to you and say, what are you doing? If you're getting together and having meetings to try to sit and enjoy one another, eat one of Homer's big steaks, but when it's over, helps figure out, where do we go from here? What's God saying to you? Where's the dreams? Where's the visions? Governments, what do we do to put together? Because right now, the singleness of heart in the vision will account to more than anything that we can do on paper, or more than anything we can do by any kind of governmental rules and regulation, which means your hearts. It means really spending time with each other. It means breaking bread with each other. Mostly praying in other tongues, in that private place where God would separate you. But at times out of that, what He's going to do is, don't think it, begin to listen to His voice when He says, invite this one over, or go out with this one. Because they have the same call. Encourage one another. One day we're going to be able to turn and say to this threefold cord, look, governments, you better talk, make every move talking to the intercessors, so that however many there are, you'll have the generals in there, but the generals will go on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and they'll begin to email all of their intercessors and say, look, this is what we're beginning to believe God for. By that time, the level of integrity... See, look, you'll always have charlatans come in, but the generals and those that are walking in integrity will always know them from the get-go. And the level of confidentiality among the generals and those that are praying will be at such a high, intense level that they will know what is shared in those places will only be shared among them. And we're talking about a place where we're going. But we're invading. We want to take Immokalee. How many of you believe that God wants more than what we can see at the moment? Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and we just worship God. And we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your great grace. Thank you for it, Lord. You're so wonderful. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Yes, sure.
Friday night at prayer, we was just worshiping around the altar. And I started hearing the Lord just saying, this is what I need. I need you. I need all these people to keep entering into me and worshiping me. And as we enter in that worship and just keep going into Him no matter what comes our way, that then I began to see waves come. Waves of glory coming. And in those waves of that glory, people were being healed. I saw legs growing out. I saw people coming out of wheelchairs. I saw the blind seeing, but he kept saying, I need you. I need the people. I need you to, when he was saying to me, I need you, he was saying, I need mankind. I sent Jesus to the earth. I had to send him as a man to work on the earth, to be here, to accomplish, and then come back to me. But he says, now I need man. I need mankind to walk out the next phase that I have of what he wants to do. He needs us. Like Pastor said earlier tonight, he can't just sovereignly come and do it. He has to work through man. He needs us. He needs every one of us to do our part, to do the praying, to do the worshiping, to do the fasting, to do and speak in the Word and growing up in Him and pressing on in, forgetting those things that are behind us. It doesn't matter. We need to forget the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, just forget it all. Even the good things that happened in the past and our walking in the Lord, we just got to keep walking into God because He needs us. He needs us to be the intercessors. He needs us to be the ones to stand in, and that no matter what storm comes our way, we're here. We're here. We're still standing. We're still moving in because He can't do it without us. He needs us. He needs us for the revival to come on this earth. And I saw the waves coming in. He kept coming in and he told me, he said, just keep going because he said, just like Elijah told the man. And then he took me in the scripture and showed me where it was at after prayer time, but how Elijah told the one man, he told him, he said, shoot the arrow out so that Syria can be defeated and you can win the battle. And the guy only shot 3 arrows. And Elijah then rebuked him later because he said, now you're not going to have all the victory that you needed. You're only going to defeat on so many times because you didn't keep shooting the arrow. You just didn't keep going. You should have just kept shooting the arrows out there. And that's what God is saying to us today. Keep going. Keep going. Keep worshiping. Keep doing what we need to do because He wants to do more. Don't stop. Allow the waves of the glory to come in. Allow the grace to come and just flow and flow so He can accomplish what He wants to do. And He needs us. He needs every one of us. It's not going to happen just by Pastor Bronk or Miss Candy. You know, it takes every one of us doing our part. And that's like even with the youth and everything. And we're going to be meeting in this house every day. You know, it's going to be every day continual worship and praise and the move of God going forth and people coming in, just like Ralph said earlier about how that other church over there, how people are just coming in off the street. That's going to be happening here, where people are just going to come. The waves of glory are just going to flow and flow, but it's going to flow because we keep entering in. God has to have mankind to move through. And it's just so on my heart, and that's why I just had to share that tonight and just say it, because you don't realize how important you are. And even you young people, Joe and Terry and all you young ones, God needs to use you. He needs you to be those that the batons can be passed on to, and that you can keep it going and keep going in God. You're the next generations coming up to press into God now while you're young, in your youth, to serve God and live for God, because there's no greater thing. And I'm not going to say this to exalt my daughter, but when she was 5 years old, she told me she was called to be a missionary. She said she was going to be a missionary. And I saw her in all her life as she grew up and as she went to school and in high school and college and everything, how she chose the Lord. She said no to the world. She said no to what her other friends were doing and what other people were doing. She said, no, I'm pressing into God. Yeah, there were times that she cried in her room. There was times she was lonely because her friends were out doing all this other stuff and she wasn't. But, you know, but she kept running into God, and God said, Melody, what do you want? Well, I want you, Lord. I want to go. Well, then this is how it is then, if you're going to walk this walk. Now she's ministering to those kids over them orphans. I've had such joy these last couple of days because we've been going out even buying stuff for the orphanage over there and buying supplies and, you know, just things for those kids over there that she can take back on that plane with her. That's going to bless them kids and bring life into them. And that's what God's wanting out of all of us. To say no to the flesh. Say no to what we want in life. And say yes to what He wants. And what He has for us to do. Go into Him. Because that's all it's about, is people getting saved. Just like those families. Whole families being changed. Children getting to go back home to their parents. Because this orphanage is different. They're training the parents, and the kids are getting to go back home with their parents because those parents are getting saved. They're being touched. They're not just taking in them kids. They're reaching the whole families. That's what God wants us to do here. Reach everybody. He wants us to do our part and stay in there no matter what. Stick by the stuff. And do it. Enter in and just keep going. I gotta quit.
She was laid hands on, I bet, by Kenneth Hagin. Glory to God. That was good. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together.